So again, welcome to a day of cultivating these wonderful qualities of loving kindness, metta, general friendliness, and equanimity. And in cultivating those qualities, we're cultivating half of the qualities identified in the teaching called the teaching of the Brahma-vihara, or the divine abodes. Vihara is the word for house, and Brahma is the king of the gods. And so it's said that when we practice what we'll be practicing today, we are as if in the realm of the gods and goddesses. So I hope you brought a good lunch. So it's very, very beautiful states, and in fact, when you read some of the texts of the Buddha, it's said that when he didn't have anything better to do, he was hanging out in these states. He said, these were my frequent abidings. These are my frequent abidings. And so just to be in that place of having kindness come out from one's being and the equanimity of being balanced with whatever occurs. And so we'll be exploring these two qualities especially, and pointing also to how they connect together. We'll be primarily doing practices all day, and everyone should have that handout that has phrases, and I'll get to those in a moment. But just to say a little bit more about the sense of the day, we'll be primarily focusing on cultivating loving-kindness or metta in the morning, and especially focusing on equanimity during the afternoon. The morning practice will have a little more orientation towards these qualities in this session. Then there'll be a walking period, and then we'll come back for another silent sitting, and then a little more talk, discussion, debriefing about how the practice has been. That'll bring us up to 12:30, which is when we'll have lunch. And you can very much continue the practice. Again, I'm going to see where we are, that some community building is important. Sometimes in some settings I have, like half the lunch silent and half optional connecting, so people can stay silent. I'm going to check in on us as a group and just see where we're at. I would be perfectly happy if everyone says, we just want to be silent, we know each other well enough. And it's nice to get a break from everyone for a day. So we'll see about that. So we'll have a full hour for lunch. Of course, we want to keep practicing. Actually, my retreats of the last 10 years, when I do personal retreats, I often do loving-kindness practice during lunch and other meals. And so, of course, we want to continue with the practice during the meal, and it's really a chance to be cultivating qualities all day long. And some of us are quite experienced in these practices, especially loving-kindness. We don't offer so commonly equanimity practice as a Brahma-vihara practice. So that may be newer to many of us, and even newer to do it for many hours in a day. That might be newer. How many have done loving-kindness for some time? Okay. How many are newer to loving-kindness practice? Okay. And so how many have a daily loving-kindness practice? Yeah, well, okay. And how many have done at least like a half day to more retreat on loving kindness? Okay. So, great. That gives me a pretty good sense. So, first a little bit of orientation around the day as a whole, then a little bit about metta, and then we'll go right into the practice and give the initial instructions and have our first silent period of loving-kindness practice. First, I wanted to say something about this intention of bringing together the cultivation of the awakened heart and wisdom. I think this is deeply needed in the world and deeply needed in our culture. We could make the case that in Buddhist tradition, the heart of the tradition is to connect wisdom and the awakened heart. Sometimes it's said that the teachings are like a bird that has two wings. One wing is wisdom, and one wing is compassion. And compassion sort of stands in for the awakening of the heart. And that emphasis has been strong, particularly in Mahayana tradition. Not always as strongly in the Pali Canon, the texts we have from the Buddha. But very, very central from the teacher, the Indian teacher who brought Buddhism to Tibet like over 1,000 years ago, Padmasambhava. He said, my view is as vast as the sky. That's the wisdom dimension. And my attention to how I act is as fine as a grain of barley flour. As a grain of barley flour, meaning that the attention to the care with other beings is very detailed. And the sense of wisdom is very vast. And yet in our culture, for centuries, we don't have this connection very fully between wisdom and the awakened heart. And in some ways, both of those qualities aren't so well developed. You know, I actually was at one time a professor at universities in the area of philosophy, which literally means love of wisdom. And I was part of groups, actually, that were trying to say the wisdom dimension in the West and in philosophy has been largely lost, and we need to bring it back. And I was with projects that were trying to do that. Limited success, but we tried for about 10 years, you know, to do that. And there's also been a way in which maybe I'll say a few things. The wisdom dimension, the mental dimension, has often been reduced to a kind of analytical intelligence, you know, which has its tremendous fruit in science and so forth. But the wisdom dimension has been largely lost. And further, that kind of analytical intelligence, often scientifically minded, rational mind, again, quite highly developed, but typically understood as disconnected from the heart. And so we would talk about distinguishing facts and values. Or there's, the philosopher Pascal once said, the heart has its reasons, of which reason knows not. Right? Quite a strong statement. You can find statement after statement over the years disconnecting, you know, and it was often thought that we just want to be rational and get away from the emotions. You know, neuroscience now shows us that our thinking and our emotions are deeply interconnected, right? That was a mistaken, delusional idea to separate out the thinking mind from the heart. So it's there in many ways. And so what we're really working with is to reconnect those. Again, I think deeply needed in the culture to really make that connection. And so that's part of the backdrop for the day, that we are in linking loving kindness and equanimity, we're doing that. So that for me is the backdrop. And I know I was brought up to be an analytical problem solver. And a lot of this is gendered, you know, that men tend to more often have that role, of course not exclusively. And so even though I think I was a deeply emotional person with a big heart, I used to sometimes cry during driver ed movies. You know, and, you know, at movies, you know, but I was not guided to be what we now call emotionally intelligent. Right? And so I had to recover that. And even now, at our loving kindness retreats at Spirit Rock, we have 80 to 85% women every year, even though anyone can register. It's like that, right? Interesting, right? And the men who come fit into two categories. I hope this isn't overly provocative to say this, but they fit in two categories. One is those who deeply, deeply want to reach their hearts and are having a really hard time. And it's very poignant to work with them and beautiful. And we there's movement, right? Because they've taken the big step of coming to the retreat. And the other is men who've really developed their kind, open hearts. And they're, that's beautiful, right? And they've, in a way, integrated the internal masculine and feminine, we might say. And recently, the last 2 years, we've had more men, including a lot of younger men, who fit in the second category. So, very good. Okay. So metta is the word in the original language for loving kindness. And loving kindness is a weird translation. Probably better to translate metta as friendliness. And the idea is of having a sense of warmth and kindness be the way we approach everything in the world and the way we approach everyone. And we train because that's not how our minds typically work, right? You probably even noticed in driving, did you have loving kindness towards all the other drivers? I noticed that I, in coming from the East Bay today, I guess, at the bridge, they have fewer toll collectors on weekends for people who have to pay rather than go through with, just the, what's it called? The fast track pass, So they have, so there was a long backup for those people. And as we got closer, we just had two lanes to go through the fast track. I noticed one car, maybe two cars, were trying to get into the fast track lane, but they had thought that they would sneak ahead and get in right at the end, and they couldn't get in. And so they were blocking the lane. And I noticed I honked without kindness. So we have these tendencies, right? Anyone noticed that in the last 24 hours? So the metta practice helps that kindness be more and more in our lives. That's what it's about. And it's a training. And it's something that we can do more and more and have it be more and more our way of being, right? And it's a beautiful, deep practice. And we'll do a number of hours of the loving kindness. It also works as a wonderful balance with equanimity. And the way that we practice typically is to, as most of you know, is to use phrases that we repeat silently, internally, that tend to be evocative of kindness. And we do this silently for, periods of sitting, or maybe we need to stand, periods of meditation, mostly sitting meditation, for half an hour, 40 minutes. And we continually repeat those phrases internally, as many of you know. And we also bring, in the same way, that practice into walking. And we can bring it into eating, right? We just keep it going all the time. And in that sense, it's a kind of a concentration practice. We're focusing the mind just on one thing. Let me evoke kindness. Let me develop a sense of kindness that's developed through the phrases, through repeating the phrases. I'll give another instruction towards this, the last third of the morning on a practice that is not as commonly taught, which is called radiating metta, which doesn't work with the phrases, but more works with a kind of energetic radiating out of kindness. How many of you know that practice? Some I may have done it here at times, and some of you not so much. So I'll teach those two modes of practice. And again, many of you have your own ways of doing it, and it's perfectly fine just to stay with that. So maybe just a few other words. All of these practices cultivate several qualities. They develop the mind to be more concentrated. They stabilize the mind. They work with the intention to come to more kindness. So loving kindness practice as well as equanimity, we can call it an intention practice. We sit here and we internally repeat the phrases that have been chosen because they tend to evoke a sense of warmth towards another person or another being and then oneself. And so with each moment, we are intending, let my heart open. And we do that through the phrases, and yet we can't force love, right? We know that. We can't force kindness. We invite kindness. That's what the practice is. The practice is really inviting moment to moment loving kindness or equanimity. And sometimes it's there, and sometimes it's not, and sometimes the opposite of it is there. You may have had something difficult happen in the last few days, maybe a difficult interaction with someone. I actually did myself. I've had some difficult stuff come up just the last 3 days. And it's coming through me some, right? It's hard. And so I might cultivate the loving kindness, may you be well. And I come, that comes up, right? Or you might be bringing loving kindness to someone who is doing quite well, and you might say, may you be happy. May you be well. And then the voice inside you says, you're doing better than me. Why do I not need to give you loving kindness? I need more of it. Right? We call this the purification process. And this is what happens when we do it, especially, you'll see it some today. It's really, really evident when people do it for several days in a row. You know, and people's dreams change. You know, things come up. People have dreams of being, you know, murderers in dreams. You know, they purify. You know, stuff comes up. Some of the unresolved material comes through. So we keep intending through the phrases to move the heart in a kind way, and then we stay with whatever comes up. We work with it. We say, it's like T.S. Eliot poem. He says, ours is in the trying, the rest is not our business. We try, we do our best through the phrases to evoke loving kindness. Same thing with equanimity. So I like to say it's an intention practice, not a production practice. And we do our best to incline ourselves towards kindness, but then whatever happens, happens. And we'll notice sometimes that things come through that are unresolved, either in the recent short term or in the long term, and then they come up. The general guideline with repeating the phrases is when things come up just for a moment, we notice them and we keep coming back to the phrases. So, you know, for those who are newer, if you look at your sheet, you'll see that there are sample phrases. And generally, we have four phrases with the loving kindness practice that we choose. It's helpful to have multiple phrases. So the ones I have, for example, which are not on the sheet, is, may I rest in the awakened heart. And that was when I developed myself. When I say that to myself, I go, oh, yes, yes, oh, very good. You know, and that's what we're looking for. We're looking for some phrases that are evocative. If you make some of them up yourself, that's often more helpful. but I have some more standard phrases on the sheet. Generally, we invite a sense of loving kindness towards others and towards ourselves in three or four different dimensions, and we find that having the different references, you know, and traditionally it's typically to being safe, to being happy, to being healthy or as healthy as possible. And classically it was to have one's life unfold with ease, which doesn't mean that everything is easy, but that we go easy with whatever happens, so to speak. Right? So, and that's related a lot to equanimity. So, and we can have phrases, you know, on the sheet there, those phrases are expressed with the, you know, in here. But it's helpful to have four. So I have, may I rest in the awakened heart. May I be safe and free from harm. And you can use mine if they resonate with you. May I be safe and free from harm. May my body support my practice. It's a kind of a version of health, right? May my body support my practice. Some would say, may I be healthy, or may I be as healthy as possible. And then the last one is, may I be held in love. Right? And those are evocative for me, and over the years they've evolved, right? And so we could have other ones. We don't have to use the way of phrasing to say, may I. So, may I rest, may I be held in love. Yeah. May I be held in love. And when I say these, something kind of relaxes and gets evoked. Again, sometimes other stuff comes up, but what we're looking for, and if you're new, I would go with at least two of the traditional ones and maybe two of your own origin if you're relatively new to this. But if you've been doing some for some years, you might want to find a newer one if it feels a little bit dry. And so again, you don't have to use the phrase "may I." Some people would just simply say safe, happy, healthy, ease. So people do it in different ways. And like I said, some people really try to more have a sense of the radiating heart and just let that be coming out even without words. And I'll give instructions on that a little bit later. So you can use phrases like, may I be wise, may I be free. You can construct the sentence however you wish. Yeah. You can see by the sheet that traditionally one began loving kindness practice by offering it to what 2,600 years ago was thought to be the easiest way to develop loving kindness, which is to offer it to oneself. Times have changed. And loving kindness to oneself for many of us is hard. And sometimes there can feel to be a wall. So the traditional sequence is that you start, and this is true of any training whatsoever, you start where it's easiest and you go to where it's hardest or harder. You know. And so the traditional sequence is you start with self, and then you go to the one we call benefactor, which would be like someone who's some being, doesn't have to be a human being, who's just a force for good in one's life. Could be one's pet, could be a tree, could be a teacher, a mentor, an elderly relative, typically someone alive, some being who is alive. That's the typical guidance. And then we would go to what we call a dear friend, more of a peer, but the benefactor and the dear friend are ones towards whom we have almost entirely positive feelings. So we would say, not a complex relationship, okay? But you bring that being to mind, so it could be a child, could be just a being that you bring to mind, and it's just, some of the warmth comes. Some of us have those. If you're newer, what we do is that we choose one being for all of these. You may have five benefactors. Oh, got to have my teacher, my grandma, my uncle, and so forth. But we typically just choose one, which helps with the concentration. Because what we do after a while, where we're going with all this, is that we go more and more into the feeling in the heart, and the phrases tend to go into the background. That's how it works. So we end up, when it gets more and more mature, we're with the feeling of warmth, and it's more embodied in the heart and more radiating out. And the phrases keep going. They keep us steady and concentrated, but they go a little bit more into the background. That's how the practice works. And so the benefactor, we choose someone who, we just choose one. And that helps us with concentration. Later we can bring in others, And I won't give further instructions beyond those two, because we're going to start with doing the loving kindness where it seems to flow the best. Okay, and that'll be, some of us may start with self, some of us with benefactor or friend. If we're newer, just think right now, who is one who you would like to bring kindness towards through your phrases? Who is a benefactor? Who might that be if you don't have one? And then who is the dear friend? Again, it could be more of a peer, but again, someone towards whom we have almost entirely positive feeling. Again, it doesn't have to be a human being. It could be your loyal dog who doesn't give you feedback. So I'll just give one further set of instructions, and then we'll start the practice, and we'll probably go for about 20-25 minutes or so, and then we'll go right into a walking. We'll go right into the groove of sitting, walking, sitting. So we'll be entering into a period of silent practice. These are optional instructions, and if you're newer, what you got may be quite enough. But for people who have been doing this for a while, these instructions can help in a few ways. One of the challenges of loving kindness, if we're doing a lot of phrases, is that the phrases become dry, and we get into more of the verbal, mental dimension, and we're not so connected with the heart. That can happen. With loving kindness, it feels like we're just reciting phrases, right? And so what can help to avoid that sense of it being overly dry because it's connected with the verbal dimension is to have the way of practicing be more embodied and more emotionally juicy. One way to do that is to, for the one that we're bringing loving kindness to, have an image of the person. So you have an image of the person, and if visualization doesn't work so well for you, you can have a felt sense of what it's like to be with this person nearby. You can have a sense, oh, this person is near me. And one way to practice is to, with every phrase, bring the image of the person to mind. Then secondly, I like to actually feel the area of the heart. Some people like to even put their hands on their hearts as they're practicing so that you feel the heart more, so it's a little more embodied. And you can also bring your awareness to your heart area. So I like to have a four-step sequence where I bring the the image of the person to mind. I feel my heart. I say the phrase. And then I let there be just a 2 or 3 seconds, kind of what we call a pause or an echo, where you just let whatever happens come up. Sometimes nothing happens. You know, sometimes you get distracted. Sometimes, you know, you say, may you rest in the awakened heart. And then nothing happens. And you go back, okay, image, feel the heart, say the second phrase, have a little bit of echo. Then you hear the comment, nothing's happening, nothing's happening. But then you just notice that and keep on going. Okay? And then, so this is an optional 4-part technique. Image, feel the heart, say the phrase, say the first phrase, let there be a slight pause, and could be just 2 or 3 seconds, then go on to the second phrase, use the same 4 parts. Image, feel the heart, say the phrase, let there be a pause. Similar way with the third phrase, similar way with the fourth phrase, back to the first phrase. So this is pretty much, when we do a week retreat, this is what we do for like 16 hours a day. And it can be take a little bit of time to work up to it, but once you get it moving, it's quite wonderful. Okay, so just be aware, it's a little bit of work to get it going, but just stay with it. So we'll go into practice period now, but I just want to check, are there any questions just about the clarity of the instructions? Particularly for people who are newer, and I'll repeat the question.
So you're stating to do this with each phrase.
The optional technique is with each phrase, yeah. Again, we give a lot of room to make it work for you. So you can, you know, I wouldn't advise a lot of experimentation, but some is okay. It's good to kind of get your way of doing it, settle in and do it. So, but some experimentation is important. In the long run, it has to work for you, and we give a lot of room for making it work for you, doing it in your own way, you know? And, yeah, Liz, yeah.
You said 4-part. I've only got 3. Image, feel the heart, say the phrase. What am I missing?
Then let there be a little bit of a pause or echo at the end. You know, just leave a little bit of space. And, you know, and sometimes you just feel, and sometimes you just feel, oh, I feel some warmth there. Or maybe you feel nothing, or maybe, again, some of the purification process occurs.
And you're really staying in the feeling for me.
What?
You're staying in the feeling.
Staying in the feeling if it's there, yeah. Yeah. Please.
Are you going to tell us any instruction during the sit, like when we move from one person to the next, or do we get out our own?
Yeah, thank you. What I'm going to suggest is that we start where it's easiest. And I will have us move in this sitting. I will give some guidance having us to shift, but we're only going to stay with, at maximum, self, benefactor, and dear friend. And if self doesn't work well, we just stay with benefactor and friend. And that's what we're going to stay with for a while. Okay? And the idea is you start where it flows the easiest. Okay? Anything else? Okay. We've been sitting for a while, so if it's helpful just to stand up for 30 seconds before we sit for a while more, please do that. This isn't a break. I'm going to have a sit down in another minute or so. Okay, so let's sit back down. And just a guideline, if at any time one is a little bit tired, perfectly fine to stand up. Could stand up for 1 minute, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, sit back down, stand up again. The main thing is just to keep the practice going. Okay, so we'll start now and see which of those seems like it can flow the best. Some of you who are experienced will have a sense of what you work with. And so I'll invite us to start either with the self or what we call the benefactor. You know, this one who is just a force for good in one's life. And all of this, it actually can also be a public figure. Some people choose the Dalai Lama, for example, as a benefactor. So see which of these will work best for you initially, and choose either the self or benefactor, and then I'll take us through the sequence with these three. Probably we'll do about 5 or 6 minutes with each of them. Thank you. Now we'll move to a second being with whom we are offering metta, or loving kindness. Typically, we use the same phrases. And so we generally want to have phrases which are general enough to work for several beings. And so if you started with self, you could move to benefactor. If you started with benefactor and self doesn't work very well, you could go to what we call the dear friend. Again, both benefactor and dear friend, ones that tend to evoke a sense of warmth. And now we'll switch. If we started with self and then went to benefactor, we'll go to the dear friend. If we started with benefactor and the self, and self doesn't seem so accessible, it's fine just to stay with either benefactor or dear friend. Or if you want to just dip your toe in self and see how it is for a minute or two, that'd be fine also. So one further piece of guidance in the practice of metta or loving kindness. Generally, when our mind goes to thinking or gets distracted, generally we just come back. We don't use the technique of mindfulness of saying, oh, that was planning or that was this or that. We simply know that we're off the phrases and come back over and over again. And the only exception is when something comes up that's maybe evoked or just comes up because it's in the background of our experience, that's quite strong and lasts for a while. You know, so for example, what came to mind is sometimes at our retreats, someone will get right into loving kindness practice, but they've been really busy, and actually a relative died 6 weeks ago and it hasn't been processed. And so grief comes up, right? And they're doing the loving kindness and all of a sudden some grief is there. And it lasts for a while, it's there. We don't try to just, okay, drop that, come back to the loving kindness. If something comes up that has some strength, lasts, let's say, for at least a few minutes, then we would generally go more to mindfulness or maybe hold it with compassion, something like grief. So that's just that's an additional piece of guidance there. You know, maybe for many of us, we'll be primarily just dealing with distraction and just keep coming back, right? But again, something strong comes up. Or again, I could notice some stuff that happened with me was there, and I just tried to sit with it with kindness for a few minutes, and then it dissipates a little bit back to the loving kindness, okay? So any questions? We're going to go to walking in a moment. Any questions come up just from the practice, particularly for people who are newer? Am I doing it right? Or this came up, what do I do? Any question? Please, yeah. Yeah.
To go to the phrases, and I don't feel that I need to go to the phrases.
So the feeling is strong.
I see the image.
And it's directed in a way towards a particular being. And you have that strong energy maybe in the heart. And you feel that, yeah. Now that's more like the radiating metta.
Yeah.
And so if you feel it there, you're not distracted, it's strong. You can just stay with that and just let it expand. And again, it's done in a few ways. You can have it be there and still have it be in a way directed towards a particular being, which sounds like that's what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say just continue. That's at a good place.
Yeah, it's new and I really like it.
Yeah, yeah.
If all those phrases are just, yeah, right, they're there. I don't have to say them. I mean,
Yeah, the energy's there. And again, we basically, as we get more experienced, we have a few different techniques. And maybe at a certain moment, the phrases would be helpful. A little bit of late morning droop, right? Then the phrases are energizing, right? But right now, it's flowing, so it sounds great. Okay. Please. And should we use the mic? Both for us to hear and for the recording. Yeah, sorry.
I'm having a terrible time doing this. I've always had a difficult time.
Yeah.
That's why I'm here to do it, keep working.
Yeah.
I don't know what you could tell me. I have a big PTSD issue background.
Yeah.
Is that something that could get in the way?
Yes, is that there's some trauma in your background, which as far as you understand it is not resolved, right? And is it, are traumatic sort of, I don't know, levels of activation coming up as you're sitting now?
No, it's more just that I don't feel any of this for myself or anything. A little bit, but not, it doesn't feel like it's enough for other people, for anybody, even my cat.
Yeah. Yeah, so there are a few things maybe involved. Let's see, is your mind relatively quiet or is it distracted?
Yeah, I get
a little closer. What?
I do get distracted. And
yeah.
Come back and try again.
Yeah. Yeah, so a few things. I mean, sometimes when there is some unresolved trauma, we're hesitant to kind of open up a little bit more, right? For understandably. And so, first thing you want to, and you're familiar when some of the activation occurs, you know what that's like. Generally, if that's occurring, you want to pull back and let it deactivate. Okay, that's guideline number one. Is that something you know how to do? Might not work. So if the activation is getting to be a significant amount, I would pull back from the practice, open your eyes, don't stay with closed eyes, look around and find something beautiful or that's attractive in the room. Do a practice like that. So open the eyes and relate to something positive and beautiful. If that's number one, if the activation occurs. I haven't heard that it's occurring, but if it does, you know what to do, okay? And then secondly, I heard that it wasn't working well towards self, but it is working some towards another being, okay? I would stay with that and just stay there and be patient. Be patient with the being or beings towards whom it works well. And just keep on letting it get a little stronger, and that's enough. Okay. Okay. Anything else? Okay. So we'll go into walking meditation now. We'll have about 20 minutes or so. We'll come back at 11:15. And in the walking meditation, we keep the practice going in pretty much the same way. You don't do anything different. One thing that I'll suggest as an option, if it's helpful for you in the walking to kind of get grounded by taking the first 5 or 10 minutes and just doing your normal walking meditation, that's fine. And in fact, through all of this, all of the day, if you find it helpful to take 5 or 10 minutes at the beginning of a session just to do your ordinary mindfulness practice in some way, if that helps stabilize you and ground you a little bit, that is fine. Kind of use your own discretion. If you're going fine with the loving kindness, then just stay with that.
Should we stay with the same people? Or?
Yeah, yeah. For the walking period now, the guidance will be 20 minutes. We could stay if you worked with just benefactor, and I would say work with the two places where it flows the best and divide the session into half. Doesn't have to be accurate, but more or less half. Work with the two beings with whom it flows the best. Okay? And when we do the walking, typically we walk back and forth on a path. You don't kind of wander around. That will tend for most people to diminish concentration. So we walk back and forth, usually it could be 30 feet, 40 feet, 50 feet, back and forth. You can also, if you want to, do a little more sitting in here or come back early and sit. It's really for you to see what works. But in the walking, we'd basically be doing the same thing internally, saying the phrases. We just let the eyes be open enough to navigate. You don't do a whole lot. You know, you're not looking out, staring, and so forth. Just really enough to navigate. Most of the intention is still internal. Okay? And so it's walking back and forth, and I think it's okay to walk in here, isn't it? Yeah. So I think it's fine. Some of you might want to walk along one side, or if that's better for you. And if sitting or standing is better for some of you for this period, by all means. It's basically, we're just changing postures to keep the whole thing going. Okay? So, and do we have a bell ringer?
Yes.
Yeah. So maybe 11:10, that'll bring us back. And we'll go right into a sitting where we'll do, where we'll go right into the sitting. I'll give one further instruction in that sitting, but mostly we'll be doing the same thing. So you can go right, when you come back to the sitting, just continue with what you've been doing. Okay? Thanks.